This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
A foundation. You know, much work goes into a foundation, isn't there? If you're going to, you know, have a concrete slab, you don't just start pouring concrete anywhere. You take care where it needs to be, what the bounds are going to be. Do you get the reinforcing metal in there and where's the structure going to be in place? And the Word of God's to be our foundation. It's to be what we stand upon. Because it's not just any other book, is it? The most loved, the most hated book throughout all of history, preserved, I think miraculously preserved, to be able to be in our hands today. I'm going to read from, can we open up to 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter 3. So if you've hit Hebrews, you've gone too far. Do a U-turn. And then if you get to Genesis, well, oh man, you head the other way. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every work. I'm going to read it again. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, or reproof, or correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, to put this scripture in context, Paul, this is an epistle by Paul to Timothy, who was his fellow worker and son in the faith, true son in the faith, and he's giving some advice to be strong in grace. Earlier on, he's encouraging Timothy because of the heritage he's had in his mum and his grandma, and that he's persuaded that faith is in him as well. Not to be ashamed of the gospel. Then in chapter 3, he starts warning Timothy about perilous times to come. And it goes on about men being lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and so on. And we could see that, you know, we definitely can apply that to today. People that are headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And he exhorts Timothy to turn away from such people. He then starts just saying to him, encouraging Timothy, you've carefully followed my doctrine in verse 10, my manner of life, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, and what persecutions he endured, and God delivered him out of them all. And in verse 14, he says, continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he goes in and says this whole scripture passage that we read. Just past that scripture in chapter 4, you'll see it's a charge to Timothy to preach the word in season, out of season, to convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. So it gives us a little bit of an idea of where Paul's coming from when he gives Timothy these things. He then goes on to say the time will come where people aren't going to endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. That we're to be watchful in all things and endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So you can sort of see this context that it's a bit of a warning. It's a bit of a, this is the times you live in, Timothy. This is the time that we live in, church. how important it is when there's perilous times and people that are turning away from sound doctrine and truth to make sure that our foundation is in the Word of God. Karen mentioned before about the Word being sharper than any two-edged sword. If we zip back to Psalm 19, let's go to Psalm 19. And we'll get a little bit more of a picture of of the Bible and the Scriptures. Psalm 19, verse 7. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there's great reward." Wow. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And how much do we stand upon this foundation? And we see and we know, as James says, it's not so much just about faith, but also about works, a balance of living in faith and obedience. And we go to Jesus' teaching of the foolish and the wise man building on the sand or the rock. We know that's what it's about. It's not just knowing what's in here and what it's about, but it's about obedience as well. And that's how we can build our life on this foundation, not just by knowing it, by knowing and living according to it. And I don't know how often you've come to a place where you feel like you're just going around the mountain again, and you seem to, whether you come to a place or not, but it's because you've drifted from this. It's because you haven't been applying the Word of God to your life. It's because you haven't been living in obedience to it. And there's consequences that come from that. So my exhortation today is to ask you, you might have, just like Timothy, you may have been someone that grew up knowing the Scriptures, but are you allowing it to really impact your life today? Has it become a bit ho-hum to you? Is it something that you're searching, digging for the gold that's in here? Is it something that you're just, you've got your favourite little bits and you just read those bits over and over again? So we're actually going to break down this 2 Timothy scripture that we read and just look at each little portion of it. And maybe through that, we're going to glean a few things today about maybe even a little bit of a checklist about how we're applying and letting the Scripture and the Holy Spirit in us, working it into our life. So Paul says, all Scripture. Now granted, you know, Paul's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. And I don't really know if he knew that he was right at that time writing something that would be counted as part of the canon of Scripture. That'd be weird. Imagine writing to a friend, just writing a letter, and then it ends up being something that, you know, that you could get killed for having just a page of. Amazing, isn't it? So yes, Paul's talking about the Old Testament here when he says all Scripture. I guess I don't think it would be too much of a stretch for us to be able to apply it to Old and New Testament, all Scriptures given by God, from Genesis through to Revelation. But it's interesting to note that Paul wasn't talking about the Gospels. He wasn't talking about Revelation that hadn't been written yet. He was referring to the law, the Psalms, the prophets. All Scripture is given. We didn't seek out God to give us something. Just like what Bev was saying today, it's a salvation that's from Him. He gives us so much and we receive it. We don't go searching. There wasn't someone that sent out some, you know, trekking party to go and search out what these writings were. In ourselves, we don't want to know. We actually don't want to know, in our sinful state, the way to live. We'd rather not. We'd rather just go about doing things our own way. Why? But God, in His grace and wisdom, has given us this word. It's amazing, isn't it? It's just such a... It's actually... it's pretty thin, isn't it, really? But I'm sure there's so much more that when we get into eternity that we'll learn and know and find out and experience with God. But for here on earth, here in your life that you have and in the thousands of years of history, this is what God's given to us, this much. Seems manageable, doesn't it? You think that, oh, is this it? But it's a challenge, isn't it? How much do we allow it to change us and to bring us life? But to know that it's given, to know that God gave this to us, it's a gift. He's given it to you. He hasn't just given you John 3:16 or Psalm 23 or, you know, another favorite passage you like. He's given you that. It's a gift from him. Have you received it? Have you opened it? It's given by inspiration of God. In the Greek, that word inspiration of God is a word I'm not even going to try and pronounce, but it's the only place that's used in the New Testament. And it comes with the connotation of being God-breathed. All right, I'll try and say it. I think it was theopneustos or something like that. Probably got that wrong. It's the only place in Scripture where this word is mentioned, this idea of this God-breathed word. When I think about that, I think about two things. One is Adam. He creates Adam, and he breathes that breath of life into him. Just think about Adam before that and Adam after that. He has this life of God that's breathed in life. And the other thing it reminds me of is the disciples in the upper room when Jesus has been crucified and he rises again and he appears before the disciples and he breathes upon them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit, the breath of God." They're two fairly major events, the breath of God going into something, bringing life, bringing a sense of, wow, receiving something of God. Adam receiving the very life of God, the disciples receiving the Holy Spirit, God himself. These scriptures are God-breathed. You know, something like 1,500 years from when the first bit was written to when the last bit was. There's around 40 different authors, and every one of them God has used in their own sphere, in their own, you know, what they were doing in their own time frame, but God used them through the Holy Spirit. And these are God-breathed. They're inspired by God. It's important for us to know that because it's not just any other book. I know we know this. Sometimes I feel like, don't we all know this? But we do, but we need to be reminded of these things. This is precious. It's God-breathed. It has the life of God breathed into the words of this book. I think I'm trying to convince myself as well at the same time. Wow. I'm trying to get myself excited about this. Do I grasp that? It's inspired by God. No other book is. It's profitable. It's useful. There's a purpose. There's a reason why this was given. God didn't just breathe life into something to have it sit on a shelf. It's a good quote, isn't it? God didn't breathe life into something to have it just sit on a shelf. His God-breathed word, the life of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, and just sits there. It's profitable, not for gathering dust. It's profitable, not just so you look good in church holding a Bible. I'm holding a Bible. Look at me holding this Bible. People must think, I read this Bible. What's it profitable for? What's it useful for? What's the purpose? Paul says for doctrine, to know about God, to know about his character. There's teaching in here about who he is, what God's like. Sometimes we like to read bits in the Bible that are purely devotional and they just relate to us. But I'm not sure if that's enough because there's a whole lot in here that that talks about who he is and different things of the way God used nations, and I'd probably steer away from those ones if it doesn't sort of feel like I can apply to my life right now. But it's in there, and there's things in there that we need to learn about God so that when I know that sometimes we can start believing something about God or that God works in a certain way, but when you look at the whole of Scripture, it's inconsistent with the character of who he presents himself to be. I look at something like whether it's a prosperity thing with this real focus on, you know, blessing us with wealth and money. And I'm like, oh, from start to finish, that's not really the picture of God that I get. If I look at Revelation and the God that's presented in that book, that's not really a God of some Santa Claus that's just going to hand out money if I'm doing the right thing. We need to know that there's things in here about God that we need to know. A.W. Tozer said, what comes to mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes to mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Well, where do we get those things that come to mind when we think about God? It's got to be from here. He's unchangeable. He's eternal. He's holy. He's a good God. And if we just focus on the bits we want and not on the doctrines that we don't really want to hear about, we're not going to get a full picture. We're not going to represent the God of the Bible to a world that's dying. You know, there's stuff in here about the wrath of God. You just have to look through the prophets. And so often it's all about the judgment of God upon a nation that's turning itself away. That is a really big warning for us in how our hearts can be led astray and turned away, that those judgments of that God does not change. Yet so often we present a God of love and a God of this side of love that's just all about making sure that it's good for us. So the word of God's given for doctrine. For reproof. Reproof means like a convincing of blame. For us to read it and to think, oh my goodness, wow, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, think about, you know, in the Old Testament when Josiah was a king and he was only 8 years old, and then he began to seek after the Lord. And it was only a few generations before, like his great-grandfather was Hezekiah, who brought about these amazing reforms in Judah as a king. Then Hezekiah's son completely stuffed it up, and he caused Judah to be sinning more than any of the nations in the world, it says. And then two generations after that, there's Josiah. And so from Hezekiah through to Josiah, a few generations have passed, and the law of the Lord, the book of the law, had been lost. And it was in the temple, and Hilkiah the high priest discovered it, found it, brought it before Josiah. And there was this sense of, I think, this reproof. Oh my goodness, we have turned away from the Lord. I've turned away from him, us as a nation. Do we have that sense of, what have we done? What have we done as a nation? What have we done as a people? What have I done by turning away my heart from him? My heart's been going after other idols. Look at where I've spent my time. Look at where my focus has been. Do we have that sense of reproof in our life? I don't think we want to feel that. I think we'd rather not. We'd rather just sort of cover over it and think we're going along fine. But the scriptures here, if we read it, it might be like Hilkiah finding this thing and, well, what about this? Oh my goodness, my heart is turned astray from him. It's for correction. And that's a good thing, isn't it? It's not just for reproof. It's not just about us feeling a sense of this weight of our own sin. But God makes a way. And God's made a way for us to come to him and for him to put right what's fallen, to set it back up again. And he does that through his grace and forgiveness. And we know that through Scripture. We know in 1 John 1:9. Just turn there and read it. If we confess our sins, that's right, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's the good news of the gospel. For instruction in righteousness. You just have to, don't have to go too far through Paul's writings to just see how often he would say to the church, live like this. Make sure you do this. Have your life be this way. So many times there's instruction upon instruction for us to live the right way. And we don't gain access to heaven or have our sins forgiven because we're living the right way. But God wants us to reflect him. He wants to put in us that reflection of his Son. And so we're to be instructed in righteousness. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That word complete has this idea of, I think you look into it, sort of this idea of just fullness, of perfection. And we think, you know what, God's coming back for a spotless bride. He's coming back for a church whose hearts are on fire for him and whose hearts are turned towards him. He's not coming back for a bride whose heart is gone on after other lovers. It's not going to happen because the Bible says it's not. He's coming back for a spotless bride. And so the Word of God through the Holy Spirit is bringing us to a place of that fullness of what God's coming back for. And it's not that we've got to work hard and try and make sure we get things right, otherwise he won't come back. But he's going to do that within the church. His Holy Spirit's going to bring us to that place so that we're thoroughly equipped for every good work. That means we'll have what we need to do what God wants us to do. You just think about where you're at right now, what your sphere of influence is. God desires through his word and his spirit for you to be living in faith and obedience to his word, for you to be equipped right now where you are for every good work that God puts before you to do. I'm just going to read from Ephesians 2 and we'll just see something that's going to complement that. Where is it? Where is workmanship? Does anyone know what that is? Pretty sure it was Ephesians 2, verse 10. Oh, yeah. Thanks. Where is workmanship? We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Wow, there's good works that he has us to do. And we've been created in Christ to do those good works. And I'm not saying that these are good works that you're yet to do. I'm sure there are things that God has still in store for you to do. But sometimes we think that we discount so much of what's been. Think about your life and what you've done. Think about the people you've spoken into, for the times that you've felt a prompting of God to be able to meet a need, and God's been using you, that there's a good work that you're created to do, and you've done so many of them up to now, and God continually wants to do that and bring us to a place where we're useful for him and where we're equipped. There's nothing worse than feeling ill-equipped, is there? When you get in a situation and you know you just haven't got what you need to be able to do something, but to have the confidence that God's with you, that he's going to give you the words. You don't have to worry, that he's going to equip you to do those things. So let's have a look at that. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. just going to finish by just having a look at Psalm 1. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Wow, his delight is in the law of the Lord. So my questions I'm going to ask you today, and we'll finish in the next minute, is do you see the Word of God as your foundation, something firm that you can stand upon? Is the Word of God your delight? Is it something that you think about? If something is your delight, you're going to think about it. Just how it happens with our heart, when our heart is attached to something, we can't help but think about it. How much are you thinking and meditating upon the Word of God? How much am I doing that? Is this something that you're that you are neglecting? Maybe you're chasing after other good things. Maybe you're listening to a whole other, lot of sermons online, or maybe you're reading a whole lot of books by people about God. But this is the God-breathed book. How do you see this? How do you perceive the Bible? Hopefully, my prayer is that we just view this word as such a precious gift to us that we cannot neglect, because these are perilous times and people are turning away. We can see it. People are turning away from sound doctrine, and there are great warnings of deceptions that if we're not firmly believing and obeying the word, we're putting ourselves into a dangerous place. So let's let this word work in our life. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us, to open our eyes, to be able to be impacted by what God wants to say to us. So I'm just going to pray. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you that you've given it to us and charged us, Lord God, to let it dwell in us, for it to be our delight, to let it be that blade that comes and cuts between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Lord, may we receive your gift, Lord. May we be challenged to read it, to find out about you, to be open to your Holy Spirit showing us something fresh. We thank you, Lord, for the power that it has in our life. We thank you for just the fact that we're right here today. We've responded to your word, and we pray that through being a reflection of you to others, that many others will have an opportunity to respond to your word of God, Lord God, as we are out of season. We just thank you, Lord God. Ask you to be at work in each one of us, wherever we're at in our life, whether we're young or old, or whether we're quite new to the faith, whether we've been a Christian all our life, Lord, we're open to having your word affect us and to transform us more into your Son. We humbly come to you and ask that, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbol Christian Fellowship.